On that note, we have a very special treat for you this morning. I am so thrilled to have my friend Kent Chevalier here to preach the word of God to us this morning. I had the opportunity to sit in the first service and was just so moved by what he had to share. I know he's got a word for somebody in this room this morning. I believe every time we open God's word, we hear the testimony of God's people. It's powerful. And so really excited to have Kent with us this morning. Kent is currently serving as the chaplain for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but Kent has been in Pittsburgh for a long time doing ministry and has had a great impact on the city of Pittsburgh. And I believe he's going to have a great impact on us here today. So can we give Kent a huge hand as he comes on up to speak?
Love it, man. All right, so we practiced.
There it is. The first time it was bad. We fumbled it bad.
Yeah, he went for the hug. I went for the shake. It was just awkward. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Man, it's fun to be with you guys this morning. Thanks for the opportunity to come and share with you today. I want to begin by asking you a question. What if this morning God wanted to do something radically new in your life? Would you be open to that change? Would you be open to changing your life, the trajectory of your life, as a result of God doing something in you today? Or are you just comfortable kind of being here? I want to share with you a portion of our testimony. My wife, Erica, is here with me this morning. And how many of you know we have two different kinds of testimonies? The first testimony is this: when I met Jesus, he changed my life. And that's one testimony. There's another kind of testimony where I basically, it's like this: God did something in my life yesterday, and I've got to tell you about it today. That's a different kind of testimony, and that's what I want to do with you this morning. And I want to share with you a passage of scripture that changed the trajectory of my life in a very unique way. It's Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, where God said this: "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way." So simply this morning, I want to share a testimony of something that God has done in Erica in my life. See, Erica and I, born right here in Pittsburgh. I was raised in the Beaver Falls, Erica, east of the city. We met together at Geneva College. And we have really, since we've met, we've been doing ministry together for almost 30 years now. Married 27, almost 27 of those years. And I've always served in the local church context. And for the last 13 of the 20 years that I served in the local church context, I was serving as a pastor at Northway Christian Community. Love our church. And something happened in year 10 that I need to tell you about. Now, nothing of my role changed. I was pastor, responsibilities as a pastor, nothing changed. But something changed in me. I just knew something was coming. Have you ever had that? Where you're just like, something in the air just shifted. Something in me just kind of changed a little bit. And I loved being pastor at Northway. And the last time that I kind of felt this, I like to call it in my knower. I knew in my knower that God was up to something. The last time that I chased that, it really hurt our family. And so this time around, I was really hesitant to even acknowledge that there was something going on inside of me. But I also could not deny that God was moving. Because here's why I didn't want to chase it. I was really comfortable. I had it good. I loved my church. I loved being pastor. In fact, we're still a part of Northway. But it's just, man, I didn't want to go down it because I had it good. And I wonder if there might be anybody here today who's experiencing the same thing. Like you know that something's shifted inside of you, maybe even years ago, and you've been wondering, oh, if I could just step into that thing, but I don't really want to chase it because, here, let me give you some examples. I don't know, maybe you've been dating her for a while, and you know you want to go to the next level and get engaged, but you're afraid to pop the question because your relationship is good and you're not sure where it's all really going to head, right? Maybe you're in here this morning and you're like, you're a part of a team at a business and you have this idea that could make the business better, but you don't want to mess with your relationship with the boss, so you don't even share it because you don't want to mess with that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a follower of Jesus and you know that it's time for you to share your faith with that one person that God keeps bringing into your life, but you're also hesitant because you don't want to mess up that friendship and be the weird guy. Am I talking to anybody? Right? You know, maybe you're in here this morning and you're actually the person who's been, tiptoeing around the idea of really surrendering and going all in for Jesus, but you know you want to, but also you don't want to, like, maybe your friends at school or your friends at work, you don't want to become the weird Christian. So that's why you're not going all in. Here's what I believe firmly. God is going to continue to mess you up on the inside until you step into that thing that he is telling you to do. Here's what I believe. God does not ask. He doesn't ask. He's God. He does not have to ask us anything. He tells. And he's going to mess you up on the inside until you start doing the thing that he is telling you to do. But I've got to warn us, because some of us, we actually do this way too soon. So we see the first job that comes along, so we grab onto it. It's got to be the, right? We if we're hiring somebody, the first person to apply for the job, it's got to be them. We got to get them. Hold up. Here's something that I've learned. When I have failed, I'm speaking from experience here, and then mentors helped me as they saw what I did, and they said, Kent, learn this principle that God's timing is just as important as his direction. God's timing is just as important as his direction. So I learned my lesson this time around. So when I felt that nudge, that in my knower, I was like, I'm not going to initiate anything, and I'm going to wait for God. And it was about 2 years into that frustration of waiting, 2 years, when the San Francisco 49ers, do we have any Steelers fans here this morning? Okay, all right. Let me ask this. Do we have any other fans here this morning? What's your team?
Bears.
The Bears? I'm sorry. So frustrating for you all these years. What's your team? You like the Patriots? Okay. Anybody else?
And the Ravens.
And the Ravens? Bro, you can just exit now. I'm just kidding. But here's what happened. The San Francisco 49ers, they traded a tight end. His name is Vance McDonald. And Vance, after the season that he was traded to the Steelers, he started attending the church where I was pastor at Northway. And just like Justin just did, he said, man, if you're brand new, I would love to meet you and come up to the front. Well, I did that after the service. And Vance came up to me right after the service. And he said, man, I would love to grab a cup of coffee with you because the Steelers don't have a chaplain and I need somebody to help me spiritually. And as soon as he said that, I was like, chaplain for the Steelers. Just kind of jumped in my knower. What's that? Because like an army chaplain, you've seen the movies, right? Sort of makes sense. Hospital chaplain makes sense. What does a chaplain do in the NFL? Just had me go, that's all. So he and I grabbed a cup of coffee. We got to know each other in that off season. And then Vance and these guys, man, you got to understand. So they cannot get to a church service like this during the season. So I didn't see Vance for that whole next season. So just like you, I was watching on my television screen the Steelers. I'm a huge Steelers fan from Pittsburgh. And you might remember this play if you are a Steelers fan. Take a look at this. Do you remember Vance, number 89? This is where he got the nickname Vanimal, because he stiff-armed this dude, right? And then he ran for a 75-yard touchdown score, and all of Steelers Nation, touchdown, woo! But I'm going, I wonder if Kendi's there, his wife. And I was like, what is happening to me? I should be going, touchdown, but I'm thinking about his kid. I'm going, I wonder if Cohen's seeing this. And all of a sudden, I began to like think about Vance as a husband and a dad, and they're new to the city, and I'm, you know, just, I wonder how he's doing, that kind of stuff. So God was starting to like shake me up on the inside to like care about these guys, because they're not just entertainment for us. These are real people who have real problems just like you and me. And I'm like going, huh, I wonder if this is the new that maybe God wants to do. And so after this season, Vance comes to me and he says, hey man, Steelers don't have a chaplain, so would you actually consider discipling me and a few of my buddies, you know, in the off season? And I was like, fire up, man, let's go. So we would go, does anybody remember Kings? Like Kings doesn't exist anymore. We would go, and we every Tuesday morning, we were having discipleship, and we were going for it. And every time that we would close with prayer requests, Vance would say, man, I wish that we could do this with the Steelers. We need to find a Steelers chaplain. Would you pray? And every time he would say it, something would jump in my knower. Like, I wonder. But I began to question my motives. Like, is it just to get close to these guys? It to be, you know, like, ooh, I get to be at the table with Steelers. Like, is that my motive? So I would chicken out. I would never talk with Vance. I'd go home with Erica, and we would talk about it. And she's like, I can't help you with this. Like, I understand you're wrestling for many years now, but okay, just talk to him. But I would chicken out when it come to talking to him. But eventually one day, he actually asked me a very direct question. Do you know of anybody who would be interested in becoming the Steelers chaplain, because Coach Tomlin is looking, he's searching for one? And I was like, well, do you think I could do it? And he goes, well, I didn't think you'd be interested because you're pastor at Northway, but like, why don't I introduce you to Tomlin? And so I was like, either way, this is going to be awesome. You know, so like I go to lunch with Coach T and with Vance, and I could tell right away that Coach T was vetting me. Like just trying to figure out who I was, what my motives were for this. And then he invited me to come and hang at OTAs, organized team activities, to, you know, just be with the guys. And then he invited me to preach at Mini Camp Chapel. So I went, it was awesome, had a great time seeing all six Super Bowl trophies up close. It was awesome. I sneaked a selfie, don't tell anybody. But I was just geeking out as a fan of the game. And then came time for me to preach at Mini Camp Chapel, and I preached Jesus with everything that I had in that room. And I left that day with Coach Tomlin walking me out of the facility, and he said, I'll be in touch. And a day goes by, nothing. 3 days go by, didn't hear. A week goes by, nothing. 10 days, I blew it. I didn't get the position. Have you ever been there in your head where you take a step of faith like that? Like maybe this is the thing, and you take a step, but then there's that weight. And this is where I believe that the enemy of our souls begins to mess with our heads and our hearts big time. And we have a choice in the weight to who it is that we're going to listen to. Are we going to listen to the voice of God, the voice of truth, who says, you're loved, you're enough, no matter how this is going to go, regardless of how this is going to pan out, I love you, I got you. Or are we going to listen to the enemy of our souls, who continues to whisper lies to us and say things like, you're not good enough? I mean, obviously, Kent, you're not wanted. You know, you got to be joking that you could do something like this. Have you ever had that in your mind? The enemy can have a field day. So the confusion that I was feeling in this moment was mounting to a boiling point. It's been like 3 years now, and now I'm not hearing back from Tomlin. God, what are you doing? Come on, God. Have you ever had one of those moments where you were just honest with God in your frustration, and it's almost like, God, where are you? Like, God, I've been out of work for 3-6 months. Where are you? Like, why are you not, like, stepping in here? My brother is sick in the hospital, God. Why don't you step in and just heal him? Come on, God. I think we've all had that in some way, shape, or form. And so what I was feeling in this moment, I was starting to go into some pretty dark places, if I'm honest with you. God, where are you? But I had a job to do still. I had a family, like I gotta power through this. And so I still had a role at Northway where I'm pastor. And so I went out to the West Coast to do some training for a discipleship experience that we were starting at my church. And so I go out there. And I don't know if you've ever done this before. It was the first time that I had done this like the way that they were doing it. They sent us out on what they called a guided prayer experience. And here's essentially what they did. They handed us a little program. And they said, read the passage of Scripture. And then what we want you to do is journal out your prayers to God. Have you ever done this? I hadn't done it in this format. So I open up the little prayer guide. And so I, at the very top was that passage that I opened up with, Isaiah 43, 18 through 19, where it read, see, can't you see I'm doing a new thing? And immediately I was mad. I know you are, but what is it? Like I was frustrated. And so they said, okay, write out your prayers to God. So I was like, okay, here we go. So I brought my journal. Here's what I wrote to God in that moment in sunny California. God, I'm trying to discern the new that you're doing in my life. Is it at Northway? Is it with the Steelers? Is it with both of them? Is it something else completely different? Either way, God, I need clarity. So I lay all of this down at your feet because I'm anxious to know what you want for me and my family and my church family. You may have something else entirely in mind, but I can sense that you've been up to something new for a long time in my life. You can hear the frustration in my journal right there. So I put the pen down and I go to the next passage. So I open it up and it's Ezekiel 37, 1 through 9. This is the Valley of Dry Bones, okay? And I don't have time to go into the passage, so let me give you the Kent Chevalier paraphrase version for this morning. Essentially, what's happening in this passage is that God downloads a vision. I don't know if it was a dream or maybe he saw something, not sure, but it was a vision where God said some very specific things to Ezekiel. And so the passage goes essentially like this. God said, Ezekiel, I want you to say this. So Ezekiel in this vision, he says it and boom. A supernatural move of God begins to take place. The valley of dry bones begins to rattle. And then God says to Ezekiel, okay, now that you said that, now I want you to do this. Ezekiel did it, and boom. More supernatural move of God continues to take place as the valley of dry bones takes on flesh and becomes an army. And then this really powerful passage of scripture ends with this section. Look at this, Ezekiel 37, 14. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, that I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. Now, I don't know how to fully explain this next part to you. So like I've been sharing this testimony and I still can't fully describe it. But have you ever been having that moment if you are reading a passage in the scriptures or you are watching a movie or you are listening to a song and you just felt you were listening to truth? It was speaking to your situation. So some of you are like nodding your head. Well, this was that moment for me. And I could tell in that moment that God was beginning to break through some of this waiting that I had been longing for, right? And so I wrote in my journal, this is what I wrote, God, speak, your servant is listening. And then I closed my eyes so that I could focus, and I heard God speak. Now, whenever I was a little kid, and there would be people who would come into my church, and they would say what I just said, I heard God speak, I would say, I'm out. Do not want to listen to you. You're weird. I don't know if that's you this morning, but like, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Thus saith the Lord to Kent Chevalier. It wasn't like that. As I was reading the scriptures, and as I went to pray, a phrase was just here. I don't know how to explain it other than that. I wasn't thinking about it before, but as I read this passage of scripture and as I went to pray before God, here's what I heard. Here's what I felt. It was just there. So I wrote it down. Kent, just settle down. Do what I say to do. when I tell you to do it. Nothing more, nothing less. That way you know it's me. Okay. But in that moment, like, this was holy ground for me. Like, I started, have you ever, the warmth, the heart beating fast, like, if you go like this, it's like, I knew I was standing on holy ground. This was a moment for me. So I wrote these words to God saying, okay, I can feel like you're about to break through in this 3-year waiting period. And I wrote this, I have a great thing going with Northway, God. I'm just wondering what you're doing with this Steelers chaplain role. And then I asked God a crucial question. Am I initiating this? Because if so, I will lay it all down and I will continue to wait for you. Because how many of us know that what we initiate, we have to sustain with our own strength, with our own ideas, with our own resources. But what God initiates, he permeates with his presence, with his provision, with his power, with his ideas. And so I wanted what God wanted for my life, so I laid it all down. It was a powerful moment for me. And then the facilitators, they came over this, you know, loudspeakers, and they said, the prayer experience is over, come back into the room kind of thing. So I started to gather up all of my things, you know, my books and my journal and all that. I started to stand up, and I kid you not, everybody, because I wrote down this very specific time in my prayer journal. 10:24 a.m. California time. Coach Tomlin texted me. And he said, can you grab lunch over the next couple of days to talk about the position? And I was like, let's go. Like, I can't believe this is happening. I laid it down, and you then gave it back to me. And I remember calling Erica and said, I think I'm about to become the chaplain to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go. Now, mind you, he didn't offer me the position. He just wanted to go to lunch. Maybe he wanted to talk about me not getting the position. But I just knew something was about to break through. So I go to lunch with Coach T. And it was awesome. He laid out his vision for the chaplain role for the Steelers. And he said, man, I'm looking for a local Pittsburgh couple who can pastor this team. And I was like, you want my wife and me to do this together? That's awesome. He said, I'm looking for the guy to lead Bible studies for the players, separately for the coaches. I want him to lead chapels before every game. I'm looking for his wife to do the same with coaches' wives and separately for players' wives and girlfriends and front office ladies and to have a couples ministry with the team. I loved everything that was coming out of his mouth. I'm like, I'm built for this, baby. Let's go. Until he said this. This position's not hired by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I would like for you to consider joining the staff of Athletes in Action. To which I was like, oh no. Because I don't know if you know what Athletes in Action is. This is a sports ministry of the missions organization, CRU, formerly known as Campus Crusade for Christ. And I had known people who worked for Athletes in Action, and what that means that every person who works for AIA, they have to raise 100% of their salary, 100% of their benefits, and their ministry budget. And I'm just going at this moment, I'm out. I don't want to do that. You know, Coach Tomlin's still talking, and I'm having a conversation with God that basically went something like this. You got to be kidding me. I got 3 daughters, man. 3 teenage girls that I've got to, like, college tuition is going to be coming right around the corner. You know, I got weddings in the future. It would not be wise for me to step away from a secure job and a steady paycheck to become a full-time missionary. That doesn't make any sense, God. There's got to be another way. And you can see at that very moment where God was putting his thumb on what I actually trust in this life. Like, my trust was not in God. My trust was in a paycheck. My trust was in a position as a pastor at Northway. It was steady. My trust was in a person, me, providing for my family. And as a pastor, like, I'm supposed to be this, like, spiritual And I say it out loud, and I get embarrassed when I say this part of the story, but I don't think I'm the only person here who does that. Am I talking to anybody else this morning who trusts in a paycheck, in a position, in a person? Yeah, me too. And so I agreed with Coach Tomlin because it's really hard to disagree with Coach Tomlin. And I agreed that I would see the chaplain search process through, even though in my mind I'm going, nope, Eric is not going to go for this. I don't even want this. I'm not raising all this money. No. I go home to Erica, and we basically both shut it down. Like, not. Bottom line, I was afraid to do this. I was afraid to step out like this. The people who do that to me are like crazy. And so you wouldn't blame anybody who's like, ah, I'm good. I'm just gonna step. But here's the deal. I gave Coach Tomlin my word that I would see us through. So we agreed, okay, we got 3 weeks to make a decision here. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's read the scriptures. Let's journal. Let's talk together about it. And so, you know, one morning as we're reading the scriptures, I've got my place inside. Erica has her place outside on the patio. And I hear early in the morning, Kent, get out here. And I was like, whoa, what? I come outside and I kid you not, Erica's frozen in fear looking like this. And the fern beside her is moving. And I'm like going, is this like Bible stuff? You know how like fiery bush, you know, stuff like what the? So I'm like, immediately I'm going, I think it's a snake in there. And I don't like snakes. She's frozen in fear, but I got to man up in this moment. So I go to the yard and grab a stick. I don't know what I'm going to do with the stick, but I'm like, I got to figure this out. So I go over to the fern and I get closer and closer and closer. And as soon as I got close enough to the fern, a bird flies out of the fern. I open up the fern, and inside is this little nest that has baby bird eggs that weren't hatched. And so over the next couple of weeks, as we are trying to process this decision, you know what happened with those birds is that they hatched. And we hear the babies going, feed me, chirp, chirp, chirp. You know? Mommy bird would come down and feed them. Daddy bird was perched up on our light poles. And anytime we got close enough to the actual fern, he would be, chirp, 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 don't mess with my kids kind of thing, right? And all of a sudden it hit us. Oh my goodness. The words of Jesus. Look at what he said. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than a bird? And as we were praying and walking down this process, God began to take us to school about what we were trusting in this life. And he began to shift our hearts to practice what we've been preaching now almost 30 years, to trust Jesus and follow him no matter the cost, and to trust in the principle that my dad taught me when I was a little kid, that when God guides, he will always provide. He always provides for us. And so together, we put our feet where our family and our mouth had been all of these years, and we took the step, watch this, with fear fighting our faith. This is so important for you to get this morning. Just because you have natural fear does not mean that you don't have strong faith. See, what faith is that I am afraid, but I am going to put my natural fear into the hands of a supernatural God and trust that he's going to be with me throughout it. And so we took that step. We went after it, and we did it afraid, trusting in that principle that when God guides, he always provides. So we went out to Colorado State University to sign on the dotted line to become full-time missionaries. I still can't believe it sometimes. But we went out there, and it happened to coincide with Crew, their international gathering of all of their missionaries. And so picture this, 6,000 plus missionaries worshiping together, getting training, and then being sent right back out. It's kind of like a homecoming and then a go sending kind of thing. So there we did it. We signed on the dotted line to become full-time missionaries. And that night, just as we took that step, it was a rough night for us. The enemy began to mess with us, our hearts, our heads, our marriage, all this stuff. And Erica, we didn't sleep well that night. And I don't know how you deal with stress, but Erica runs. So that next morning, she got up super early and she went for a run in the middle of Colorado State University. And if she were telling this story, she just doesn't like public speaking. So if she were up here, she would say, I was confident that God was calling us to do this, but I was still scared, freaking out. And so as she was running on the side of the road, she kind of just broke down and said, God, I need you to confirm this again. I don't want to be that person who puts out the fleas, but I need something today that will confirm that you're in this and that we didn't do something stupid. So she comes back from her run and we get ready for the final teaching session and we go to the giant basketball coliseum. Now picture this. I don't know if you've ever been to a concert where it's in the round, the stage is in the middle. So we're on floor seats, the round stage, and on the other side of the basketball coliseum, the round stage, there is a painter who is painting furiously during the worship portion as we're singing. Have you ever seen something like this? So we cannot see what he's painting. We can just see the back of the canvas from our seats. And the camera on the big jumbotron in the Colosseum is intentionally not showing what he's painting. And so as the music we're singing and we're worshiping, he's going crazy painting. And as the music begins to die down, the camera intentionally pans back from what it is that he is painting. And I want to ask you, what do you think that this painter painted that morning? Take a look. I tell this story all the time, and I look at this and I'm going, I can't believe that. How specific for a prayer to be answered in such a way that, like, we can't miss that. I mean, I'm not the smartest, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but man, I'm not gonna miss that. We looked at each other and we just both wept and we left that day confident, knowing that God, no matter what comes, he's gonna be with us every step of this journey. And so the reason that I've been telling this story is because in the church today, I just wonder, are you trusting in a paycheck? Are you trusting in a position because that's all you've ever known? Are you trusting in a person? Maybe yourself. Or ladies, can I speak to you this morning? I have three daughters, and I'm married to my incredible wife, Erica. Are you trusting in your husband or somebody else to be your provider? Men, think about it this way. Are you robbing your wife, your kids, from understanding that you're not their provider, that God is, Jehovah Jireh, their provider? And sometimes the way that we go about our business as husbands and dads, we will rob them of seeing God as their true provision. So is that you? See, here's what I wonder. If you're trusting in a paycheck, you're trusting in a position, you're trusting in a person, right? But you know that there's something that God has told you to do. He's called you, and you know it in your knower. But there's something that's holding you back from it, whether it's comfort, whether it's the mortgage, whether it's the responsibilities that you have, whether, I don't know what it is, whether it's the comfort that you have just become so used to. What are you trusting in that is holding you back from doing the thing that you know God has told you to do, but because of those things, you've walked away from that dream that he put in your gut a long time ago because someone just told you it's just too risky. It doesn't make logical sense, but you know in your knower that God has told you to do it. Here's what I'm just trying to encourage the capital C church today. This is why Justin invited me today, to encourage you to do it afraid. To just do it afraid. I mean, come on, man. You know that God has told you to marry her. It's time. Everybody knows. You know it. She knows it. Their families know it. Come on, man. Do it afraid. Pop the question. Businessman, businesswoman, you've got an idea. Is God saying go out on your own? Start this. Is he prompting you to do it? Do it afraid. Right? If you're a follower of Jesus in here, let me press you. You never have to pray about, should I share my faith with my neighbor? The question is, okay, when is the good time to do it, and do it afraid? If you're here this morning and you've been exploring the faith of Christianity, the person of Jesus Christ, and you've been tiptoeing around the idea of really going all in, today's your day. Do it afraid. Right? When you try something new, do you really research everything? Do you really go, no, I'm just going to try and get in on this. Man, try a small group. Do it afraid. You know, try serving. Do it afraid. See what happens. You never know what God might do, but you know in your knower what God is saying for you to do. And so I just simply came here today to encourage you, because here's what I know. When you take that first step, God will be with you. And his hand will be upon you, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. And so I just want to ask you one last question, and then I'm done. Will you follow Jesus' example and do it afraid? What do you mean? Hold up. Jesus was afraid? Let me explain. There was this moment where Jesus, right before he went to the cross, he sees the pain and the agony that he's about to walk through. And in that Garden of Gethsemane, he asks his Father a question. Is there any way that this cup could pass from me? God, I'm struggling with what I know is ahead. And when God answered his prayer, his one and only son, good God said, no. See, many of us, we think that when God answers our prayer, we just get what we want. But God in his goodness, not only for Jesus' sake, but also for all of our sakes, God said, no. And so God said, okay. Jesus said, I'm going to go for it. And sweating drops of blood in his anxiousness and in his depression, he looked ahead and he saw the joy that laid before him, and he decided to do it afraid, to endure the pain of the cross so that you and I might be able to be set free for our sins that we have committed and keep committing. And he said, I'm going to do this anyway, not my will, but yours be done. And 3 days later, after that crucifixion, he rose from that grave, showing us that not only was our sin forgiven, but death couldn't even touch us. This is why he did it for us. So will you follow Jesus' example and do it afraid? Not my will, but yours be done. You know what it is that God's put inside of you. And here's what I believe. God is looking for bold men and bold women to step out in that kind of trust of God and that kind of faith, joining Jesus, where we can step out in ourselves, do this afraid. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. You just step in the face of fear, trusting that you know that God has called you to it and he will provide for you along the way. So I don't know what that new thing is for you, but I do know that God will be with you. So some of you here today, I would love to invite us to stand up, and I want to close us in a word of prayer. There's somebody here that God is speaking to right now. Would you mind closing your eyes and bowing your heads? And I just want to pray for us this morning. If you're a person here this morning who you've been tiptoeing, but you haven't gone all in with Jesus, today's the day. And right here in this room, marking today, this is the day that you're going to step forward, do it afraid, and follow Jesus with everything that you've got. Is that you? There's somebody here in this room, you know that God's put a dream in your heart. You know that he's calling you. He's not asking you to do it, by the way. He is telling you. And so you have to decide in this moment, am I going to obey him or not? And as I continue to disobey, I'm giving him permission to fuss me up on the inside, because he will not let it go inside you. So are you going to step into that today? So Holy Spirit, in this room, I pray that you would have your way, that you would lead us to courage, and that somebody in this room today is going to unleash that courage to step into their God-given purpose. And they will be free beyond a paycheck. They will be free beyond a position. They will be free from depending on people. And they will be free to follow you with every step of their life. God, help us to do this. Give us the courage to do this today, whatever that might mean. And it's in your name that we pray these things and we give our lives to you. And everybody said, amen. Hey, thank you everybody for allowing me to be with you today. It's a real privilege. God bless you, Justin, and your whole team and the True North. Thank you for this morning. Have a great day.
Thank you, Ken.